for 25 years, and maybe two or three times I've had the Lord do this to me. It doesn't mean that the message I had is not one He'll have me share at some point, but there are times that God will kind of say, son, let me have the baton. There's a direction we're going, and I want to be obedient to that. In Luke chapter 8, there's an account of Jesus entering a particular town. He's met by a group associated with Jairus, ruler of the synagogue. It says, a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. Another gospel says that she had spent all she had on doctors. Instead of getting better, she had gotten worse. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter's dead. He said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. As we were worshiping the Lord, and I didn't have this in my mind when it happened, it was just I was enjoying the praise, enjoying the team leading us in the Revelation song. I just kept getting a sense from the Lord to emphasize hope for hopeless situations. Hope for hopeless situations. This woman had tried for 12 years to get better. She did everything within her power to get better. She made use of every available resource that she could to get better. But instead of getting better, she got worse. She spent all that she had to get the best care that she could. She did everything possible to change her hopeless situation. A situation that would keep her from people, because a woman with an issue of blood would have been considered unclean. She did everything she could to rescue herself from this hopeless situation, and nothing worked. And yet she dared to believe when Jesus came to town that he could bring hope to a hopeless situation. Jairus, his only daughter, 12 years old, loved her. A Jewish synagogue ruler reaching out to a controversial rabbi, but he was desperate. His daughter was dying. Watch this scene unfold before him as Jesus takes his time with this woman, probably thinking, look, I'm a ruler. She's just an unclean person. What are you doing? I've got priority here. And when all is said and done, you can see Jairus saying, come on, now. You're done with her, come on. And then he gets the word. He sees the servants walking towards him, and he knows what it means. His daughter's dead. A hopeless situation. He felt if he could just get Jesus there while she were alive, she'd be okay. The first case, there was no hope. It was all gone. She had tried everything, and there was nothing left. This one thought, if I could just get him there, while if we could just get him to take care of this, if we could just get him to do it the way I think he should do it, we're going to be okay. Mary and Martha had the same response when Lazarus, their brother, died. Jesus, if he had just been here, my brother wouldn't have died, because they were looking at it from their perspective. For them, death was the end. There was no hope beyond the grave, not unless it was the resurrection at the end of the age. For Jairus, this was it. Now, he believed in a resurrection, but he didn't believe this could change. And we face hopeless situations at times in our lives. Some of you here are in the midst of a hopeless situation. You have tried everything you know how to do. You have scrambled for every shred of hope you can to try to find the answer to your situation. And you're not getting better. Instead of getting better, you're getting worse, and you're losing hope. You're wondering, are things possibly going to change? Maybe for you, the situation has died. You prayed, you believed, you hoped, but now it's too late. It's dead. Why trouble the master anymore? Jesus' word is, don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe, and she'll be healed. In John chapter 5, there's a man at the pool of Bethesda, a pool where a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him a question. Do you know what it was? Do you want to get well? The first point of this spontaneous, extemporaneous, impromptu message goes back to the Luke text. And it's, no situation, even a dead one, is past the power of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. No matter what situation you face, it is not past. We just sang about an awesome God. We just sang about a lamb who's been exalted above all. There is no hopeless situation as long as the God of hope has anything to say about it. Even death doesn't get the last word with this Savior. The resurrection and life does. But the second point is this. Do you want to get well? Sometimes we develop a stake in staying broken. We develop a stake in not having things change because we get comfortable. It may not be good, but it's familiar. Do you want to get well? Do you want things to change? It means you'll have to get up. It means you'll have to leave the pool. It means you're going to have to get back on living. It means things are going to change. Do you want to change to get well? There are times that the God of hope wants to step in, but instead of changing the situation, he wants to change you in the situation. Do you want to get well? Because what that might mean is your world will become rearranged. Areas that you haven't wanted to touch, God may need to touch, because sometimes the issue is not the symptom. The source of the problem is something altogether different, manifesting as a symptom. And God doesn't just want to take away the symptom. He wants to get to the source and bring shalom to the heart. Do you want to get well? And the third point from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The first point is, there is no situation beyond God's, the God of hope. The second one is that sometimes to get out of that situation, God has to change you in the situation. And the third thing is sometimes God doesn't do anything but give you grace to go through what you're going through. And my point on the third one would be is, are you willing to accept whatever answer he has for you? Can't you just go back to that other message you were going to preach about GPS? I think I'd feel really happy about that one. I believe that God wants to encourage people here with those three points. And a different person to a different point, perhaps. Some of you are here and you have cried out to God for a situation to change. You have prayed and prayed and sought God. You have done everything that you know of he has called you to do. You've tried everything, and it's a hopeless situation. It hasn't changed. And now you're watching it die in front of you. May I encourage you that the God of hope gets the last word. Some of you here, God is asking you the question, do you want to get well? Have you become so comfortable in your brokenness that you don't want wholeness? Do you want to get well? Do you want him to come in and change everything to make you whole? And for some of you right now, God is just saying, I haven't abandoned you. I haven't left you. But the answer I have for you is a better one than the one you're asking me for. You think this is the best answer. I know what is the best answer. And so here's what we're going to do. That was the sermon. Who knew, Bill? That was the sermon. Here's the activity to do it. They're going to lead us back in those songs of worship. These altars are going to be open. And I'm going to invite, if you are in the first group, second group, third group, it doesn't matter, you come down to the front and let God bring hope, let God bring change, and let God bring grace. Whatever that need is to minister into your hopeless situation. You do not need to leave here hopeless if that's the way you came in. You can leave with hope. I want to be whole. And that, Lord, there would be an openness and a willingness to receive all that you want to do by your Spirit in their lives. To tear down strongholds, to remove footholds, to take ungodly beliefs and exchange them for the truth, to have their thinking renewed according to the Word of God, to see things biblically, to see things through the eyes of a believer instead of through the world. And for those, Lord, that you have called to serve, those jars of clay that are finding their thorn and limp to be overwhelming at times, may they find the grace of God sufficient. The grace of God sufficient, and may they be bold enough in faith to take joy, even in the midst of their trial, because when they're weak, then you're strong in them. We ask, Lord, that you would seal your work here by your Holy Spirit, that nothing that was done at this altar would be able to be robbed and stolen away by the thief, but that the one who came to give life and that more abundantly would seal it through the Spirit. That they would walk out of here, Lord, with hope. Hope that where they've been is not where they're going to end up. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And God's people said amen. 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 Amen.